Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Library Trust's campaign to renovate Central Library has entered its public phase. The library is in the home stretch to raise just under $50 million to renovate Central Library, which will include a 50-50 mix of public and private funds. Tulsa County voters and the library's reserve fund have already matched the public side of the goal, and private and corporate donors have put the library just within reach of the final goal. So, what will the new Central Library look like? What new services and amenities will it offer? Well, joining me to discuss the new roles of a renovated Central Library and the campaign progress is the CEO of the Tulsa City County Library System, Gary Schaefer. Gary Schaefer, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Well, if anybody's been downtown, they can see work has been progressing on the Central Library and literally gutting this beautiful mid-century building. Now comes the fun part, reimagining, redesigning the Central Library, and you're now at the public portion of the capital campaign. How's the campaign going first?
The campaign is actually going really well. We're so fortunate to live in such a philanthropic community that supports their community institutions, and we see that every day, and the Central Library is no different. So that has been going very well. As you said, we're in the public phase now, so it's everybody's opportunity to contribute to the library so that they can drive by it one day and say, I helped build that library.
Now, what is the anticipated starting date on actually beginning the renovation or beginning the rebuilding of the library, if you will?
Some people will be surprised by my answer. First off, the library has been closed for several months now, and we have been doing a demolition interior. It's called selective demolition because we're not tearing down everything. So that has continued, and that recently ended. And actually, we received our building permit just the other day. And so that's why if you drive by the Central Library today, suddenly it looks like something's been is happening when in fact, the inside has been going on for several months.
So work is already beginning to progress.
Then. Yes, it is. And it's very exciting.
Just from the fact that we're missing this facility now, we realize the role it plays in the community. Even though the librarium is nice,
right,
it's not the same as having a central library. What do you anticipate the role of the new central library in its role in downtown and as a community collaboration and greeting point?
We look at libraries today as places where people convene, collaborate, and create. So it's not just a place where I can find the latest book. And in truth, libraries have never been just about books. You know, that's what people, obviously, that's most evident. They've always been about people bettering themselves, finding knowledge, getting information, help with, you know, schoolwork, health information, finding jobs. I mean, libraries have always had a role in all of that. It's just now that we are creating libraries more for people to actually create things. So to take content that we have in the building and kind of do what the kids would call a mashup and creating a new form of intellectual property. And in fact, part of the library's role in all of that is helping to navigate copyright and intellectual property.
And of course, when you look at other cities in this section of the country, I'm thinking of Oklahoma City Library, where they've built a new central library, which I don't think they really had one before. Mm-hmm. You can see that it's all about collaborative spaces, small meeting rooms where people from across town sort of gather together, work out a problem, work on a business plan, that sort of thing. And I think the same thing is going to be happening here.
Absolutely. So surveys, or as we talk with people, and this happens here in Tulsa and across the country, people are actually looking for more people spaces. So they want to have that space to come together and work on a project. So the books are still present. And in fact, you know, our collection is one large collection spread across 24 facilities, and people can request any book we have and have it routed to the library of their choice, get an email or text message when it arrives. So we still have the books and they're still available. But as you know, it's expanded into ebooks, e-audiobooks, downloadable newspapers, downloadable music, streaming movies. So tell me when to stop. I mean, it's just we have, you know, we are using the internet to its full capability to now where a person can submit a resume and within 24 hours get it back with corrections, or a child can go online and get help, you know, if they're in third grade with geography with a live tutor, though most of our questions are coming from the 11th and 12th grade in their chemistry, calculus, and physics, which in one of my favorite customers' sayings, you know, this is my best friend, or this homework help tutoring service that you have. And I heard a child once call it his secret weapon.
So. Yeah, well, it goes beyond tutoring services. Once you're out in the business world, businesses are using you in the way that 50 years ago they had their own research department.
Yes.
A lot of times they're depending on the library
right.
as the research department.
So we have research librarians that are helping people daily, whether it's helping them with a business plan or doing research to start a nonprofit. And then we have for-hire librarians, which many people are aware of, Research Wizard, led by Martha Gregory, who is very active in the community, and people can hire Martha, and you know, for a very low cost, and she will help them do all kinds of market research.
Yeah. Now, help us envision what the new central library will look like. First of all, as I understand, you're going to add a floor in the lower level, right? Where it'll be, I mean, there will be even below the lower level where the Aaronson Auditorium is, there'll be some.
Right. So space there's there. Actually a second lower level below Aaronson
Auditorium.
Which has
always been storage.
So it's always been there. Actually, very early on, it served as one of the first cable TV stations. The county's earliest computers were housed in there. So it's actually been a public space before, but this is the first time, I mean, now in the century, let's say, where we're reactivating that space and putting in an education center that will be a place for children to get help with their homework and to learn about something I'd say we're calling, but actually the world is calling, ideation, you know, coming up with creative ideas, but also helping adults who are working in an education space by providing them facilitation and space to help them do problem solving on some of the big issues they're facing in the K-12 educational sphere.
So this is going to be a resource for teachers then?
It'll be a resource for teachers, superintendents, principals. But, you know, when they're not using the space, it'll be a resource for the library and for other nonprofits in the area. So we're very excited about that space. And part of your question was about what's it all going to look like. So my first visit to the Tulsa Central Library, I was trying to get to it. I could see it, and I was in a car, and how do I get there? And I ended up parking like way over by, you know, the convention center and walking in because I was afraid I was going to drive past the one entrance. So we will actually be relying on and heavily relying on the 5th Street extension, people being able to drive onto 5th Street, making a left or right off of Denver, dropping off at our front door, and actually pulling on a little further to pull into a new parking garage. The biggest thing that came up in the research we did and in talking to people was there's not enough parking, you need more parking, so we're adding a parking garage, and all of our plans are predicated on that 5th Street extension. And so that is very important to us. It is just not about the Aloft Hotel. It serves that whole area. And I, you know, like to remind listeners that over $100 million has been spent on that area in redeveloping this whole area of downtown. And so this is at the core and this is at the center. And so it's vital. It's more than a street to a hotel. It's, you know, access.
Well, it's also the courthouse, too.
The courthouse, the police courts, the convention center, and most importantly, in my mind, of course, you know, the civic institution of the library that is available to everyone and will be everyone's central library for all of Tulsa County.
So what is the status of the 5th Street extension? Because I've heard various reports that it's been put on the back burner or that it is proceeding. I've heard both stories.
I have as well. And so it's costly. It's coming in higher in cost than they had anticipated, but it is kind of a promise that was made to the city and to others and to the library. As I said, our plans are predicated on it. So
you'll have a grand entrance.
A grand entrance off of this street. You will be able to park your car off of this street. We're going to have a coffee shop in the library that will be open in hours when the library isn't. So all of this is, it's very important. So I've heard both sides, but the library has offered publicly, you know, to the powers that be, you know, that we will help contribute to this because it is so vitally important to our project. So I think they've relooked at things and they've looked at ways to cut the cost of the project. And everyone's working together. I mean, I was in a very collaborative meeting with Tulsa County and the courts there, police, the convention center. Everyone wants to see this. So everyone is working to do what they can to keep those costs as low as possible.
The whole plaza, though, is problematic because if you've parked underneath there, you know that that structure is, well, now it's probably 50 years old.
Yes.
And it's going to have to come down, and they'll have to figure out a new way of doing this because, you know, it's was never meant to hold traffic.
Well, and they're not actually looking at taking it down. They're looking at reinforcing it in the areas where the street would be, so it's not all being driven upon. And so they are looking at reinforcements for that. And they have a very, thorough and thoughtful plan for it. So I think it will proceed, and it's going to be a great addition to downtown and to the literally hundreds of millions of dollars in investment that have gone on in downtown.
And it becomes a potential focal point for this part of downtown because, you've had all this development at the BOK Center and to the north of the Brady District. The next thing is to bring that sort of energy and spirit to the rest of downtown. This could become a very big focal point.
I think
talked about a cafe. You're going to have outdoor seating. You're going to have outdoor seating up on the second level, it looks like, where there's places to enjoy the outdoors.
Right, and there'll be outdoor seating off of that first floor, and then we're actually putting study rooms on the balcony. So those will literally, people will check those out with their library card and be able to access those. So they'll be contained kind of glass cubes, very set up, temperature controlled for people to get work done. But it also activates that whole, as you said, activates that area, the convention center. So think about with the hotels that are going in now, you start activating, getting more conventions in at the convention center. There is space within the library that can help be engaged in a large convention, BOK Center, the DoubleTree Hotel. You start tying all of that together, and suddenly you have a very vibrant convention space and really an engine of economic development right in of itself.
Now, of course, Aronson Auditorium will remain, but there will also be an additional meeting space up on the main level, which will be adjacent to a new children's area.
Yes.
Which will it be primarily for children's events, or could it be meeting space of any sort of type?
Everything is being set up to be really flexible. And so that can be, it'll have glass doors that can slide open so that when a children's program is going on, it's very inviting for children to come in that are just in the space and their caregivers. But then it can be closed off for another meeting. There's also access from the children's room down into what we're terming the children's garden. So in between the parking garage that is predicated on Fifth Street and and the library itself, there'll be this beautiful green space where we can do basically outdoor programming. So we can do a Friday night family fun film, or we can have, predicated on my friends at the Tulsa Zoo, perhaps bringing a llama to story time, and we can have that to weddings. I mean, weddings are very popular at libraries. We have not hosted one at the Tulsa City County Library, but that would be something, would be a very inviting space, corporate functions, all kinds of things.
And then you're moving the main stacks, really, upstairs to the second level, right?
They'll still be shelving. We're keeping that very openness on as that main level as you walk in, which will be termed the first floor. Mm-hmm. And that will also be able to be flipped, as it has in the past, to do a public event. So we can seat 600 to 700 people in that area. Plated dinner, if perchance one wishes to hold one in a central library, as we do once a year. We'll be able to handle there. But then when that space is not being used for those things, it will be an active space, merchandising new books, other things, and just all kinds of technology that will be available to the residents, for free to no cost, little cost.
And everything I can see is the library keeps up with technology, and that's a difficult thing in and of itself because the technology is changing. But are you going to do anything to sort of concentrate, like your media and production things of a lab of sorts?
Well, of interest to you in particular, I guess. Yes, there will actually be a maker space that will include that. And then it's also being built very with flexibility in mind. So it will have a raised technology floor on all the public floors, which means that we can reroute electrical, reroute computer cabling and all of that. So where right now is on the plans to have CDs, which I think we now have downloadable music as well. One day that will likely go away, and we could deploy sound recording booths or something like that. And that can be, people doing digital storytelling to, I don't know how many bands will be recording at the library, but, there's just a big demand for really that digital storytelling, bringing your grandfather to the library and interviewing him and capturing him both for your children but also your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. The second floor will be, again, where what we think of the library now, which is most of it was on the main floor. It will the fiction, nonfiction will be up there. But, of course, we also think of the upper floors, which have had the various business centers and a nonprofit resource center. And all these things will still be
up. All those things stay. And we're actually bringing back an Oklahoma History Center, which will be housed there, and having things, particular to Oklahoma and Tulsa. Certainly, we have an extensive maps collection. We're looking at digitizing as many of those that are without copyright that we can legally digitize. So those, we have librarians working daily now on, digitizing those popular collections that, by copyright, we're allowed to do that. And I know I keep mentioning that word, but as a librarian, that's very important to us.
Right. And there'll be a health center. Now, are we talking, this is a place to learn about various issues concerning health?
Right. They so won't health, be like health, a, yeah, health
won't
information
be a
center.
Club.
No, not a health club, but yes, more like a health information center for people that want the information on that. And, and then also you had mentioned business resources. So we say we have a project actually at the library system-wide titled Tulsa City County Library Means Business. And we are your office away from your office, and we offer all kinds of resources from, Wi-Fi to printing from your own device to, high-speed copiers, fax machines, scanners. All of that is available so that people can, be on the road or on the move or collaborate together with other people on a project and actually be able to execute it. We now have Federal Express boxes outside of every library in the Tulsa proper in the city limits. That's part of a pilot with Federal Express. And so we're the only library in the United States offering that. And again, it's part of that, we are your business resource.
One of the things I'm noticing to the other central libraries I've been to, there's one in Denver that's very comparable to what you're trying to accomplish here in Tulsa, is that you'll see like young professionals gathering together in one of those meeting rooms that will be right off the balcony, or in you have an open collaborative space. There's actually work.
There's a lot of work
not in the office, but at the library.
Right. And groups meeting, too. So before the library closed, Toastmasters regularly met there. The Geological Society has met there for years. So it's all kinds of groups and people coming together. And that's something you had mentioned at the top was, about the librarium. It's a great space, and it is doing great numbers and great business, but it is not a central library. It was meant as, we wanted to be more than a Band-Aid, so it is a testing laboratory for all kinds of new technology and equipment, but it is, it's a taste, a sneak peek at what the central library will be, but it is not, a central library.
My guest today is Gary Schaefer, the CEO of the Tulsa City County Library. The Tulsa Central Library Renewed is the name of the capital campaign to renovate Central Library. It's now entering its public phase. Already raised, close to $50 million?
Not quite. We came to the party with $15 million of money that we had scrimped and saved, and then the voters of Tulsa came together under Improve Our Tulsa, granting us another $10 million. So we came to the project with $25 million in public funds, and that was matched by donors. And now the public phase continues, and people can give in a myriad of ways. We have a debit card that people can sign up for through our local credit union. A small amount goes to that. People can have their name or a name of a loved one engraved on a wall at the library for a fairly low cost. We have banks shaped like the central library, plexiglass banks in all of our libraries that people can drop in their loose change or loose bills. We have gel bracelets that people can buy for $1, front license plates that are $10 with our cool Libraries Change Lives logo on them. So I could go on and on of the many, many ways that people can support the campaign. But I love the idea of people, as I said, being able to drive by and say, I helped build that library.
What's the remaining amount of money you need to raise?
Well, our public campaign goal is $1 million. And we are, probably at under 100,000 on that. So it continues and will continue throughout the construction. But it's such an exciting project to be involved with.
Now, when you gutted the building or selectively demolished the building, Was there any surprises about the building, or is the building still in very good shape and everything's coming on?
Right. The building is in excellent shape and no real surprises. The building was built in the 60s. It did have asbestos in it. That has all been removed. They did find a little bit more than they suspected, but it was not riddled with it. So that was really so far the only surprise we've come across, and that's pretty minor. Again, it's just it's really a clean slate, a blank slate now, and some exciting things are getting ready to happen there.
So what's the timeline?
So timeline is 2016. I mean, we've technically just started construction, just got that building permit. And so my hope is summer of 2016. I would love it for the building first opened July 1 of 1965, and I'd love to open on July 1 of 2016 so it can be open for not just the next 50 years, but, maybe we're planning it for a 100-year building.
And, of course, that's also predicated on this Fifth Street project.
Yes.
If that doesn't come to fruition by 2016, are there alternative plans for the Fourth Street side?
Construction would need to stop. Plans would need to be redrawn. It would cost the library millions of dollars for that to happen. So, it's very important, and I can't stress enough how important it is to this project. Mm-hmm. And I hope people will get behind, the need for that to happen. And also just, we need to re-energize that portion. And, that parking below there, people may not know there are two levels of parking. It is very well used. You've got the courts there. You've got jurors coming. So that parking is necessary below there, and we just need the road across. It's a bit like a bridge, really, because it's being built across the supports, but it does need to happen.
All right. What most excites you about the plans for the new central library that you think people are really going to take to in this new central library?
I think it's going to really knock people's socks off. It's the librarium, as I said, can only offer a small taste of it. But I had opportunity to visit Madison, Wisconsin, and I bring that up like Madison. Why would I bring that up? But the building there was built in 1965. The building was a mid-century modern building, still is, and it's the same architect. So we have a national architect. We have local architects as well. We have a national architect who specializes in libraries. So I've been in our library, I feel. The architects assure me ours is going to be better. Budget's a little bit higher and the finish is a little nicer, though still industrial. These are commercial grade finishes, nothing too fancy, but it is going to be just it's an iconic building, but a very well-used building. We had 1,100 people a day coming into the Central Library before it closed. Estimates would say that should go up 40%. That would put us at about 1,540. Someone can check my math. We're estimating 2,000 a day coming through there. So it is going to be a very well-used facility, and it will feature STEM learning, the education center, the outdoor space, all kinds of, maker tools for people to create their own things. And it's just going to be this amazing hub of activity right here in Tulsa, and a beautiful building that, I guess the best part is, it's everyone is welcome. It is everyone's Central Library.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the things I like when I'm driving by the Central Library, I think you did some tree trimming or remove some trees so you can actually see the building and see how beautiful the building really is.
It is a beautiful building. It's in the eye of the beholder. Some people aren't in love with mid-century architecture, but it's... in some ways it will look the same, and in every way it'll be different. New glazing, meaning windows, where there's gold ornate things, that will be replaced with glass. It's called aggregate, that kind of pebbled or rock surface, is falling apart and deteriorating, so that has to be replaced. So there'll be new panels put in place there that'll also be up to code. So it is going to have kind of that same, I like to think of like a Kennedy Center look to it, mm-hmm. But all new. The travertine stays. It's in perfectly good shape. So it's going to be just an amazing, iconic building once again.
How do people get more information about the Tulsa Central Library Renewed, which is the name of the capital campaign? How do they get the – what's the easiest way to get more information?
The easiest way, certainly they can link to it from the TulsaLibrary.org website, but also there's the TulsaLibraryTrust.org, and that has all the information about the campaign and different ways to give. I mean, we've got it set up if someone's doing shopping on Amazon, if they go through our website or through our link, a portion of the proceeds, you know, things they're going to buy anyway – goes to the Central Library. So there's a myriad of ways to give and different ways that people can support this. So we just hope everyone will participate because it is everyone's library.
All right. The Tulsa Central Library, hopefully a new library by 2016.
Yes, indeed.
Gary Schaefer, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Gary Schaefer is the CEO of the Tulsa City County Library System. Tulsa Library Trust's capital campaign to renovate Central Library is now in its public phase. If you'd like more information on the campaign or more information on the renovation of Central Library, visit the library's website at TulsaLibrary.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Colin Hines.
Since the botched execution of Clayton Lockett, some politicians across the country have come up with some interesting alternatives to death by lethal injection. Some have advocated for bringing back old Sparky, the electric chair. Others pine for a simpler time when we'd offer the convicted a cigarette, stand them up against the wall blindfolded, and shoot them. One elected official has suggested, after an extra speedy trial, death by hanging in the public square would be optimal. Why stop with old Sparky, the firing squad, or hanging? Let's get creative and think outside the box. How about feeding the summarily convicted and sentenced to the lions at the zoo? The zoo could charge quadruple the usual price of admission. It's a sure thing that red-blooded Americans with a penchant for medieval brutality would flock from all over the country to come see it. It would be great for the zoo's budget, it would boost tourism, and the lions would be mighty pleased with the arrangement as well. Seriously, here's the problem with the death penalty. A study entitled Rate of False Conviction of Criminal Defendants Who Are Sentenced to Death and authored by law professors conservatively concluded that in the United States, 4.1% of death row inmates, whether executed or not, would eventually be exonerated, time willing. In other words, we, in fact, execute people who are not guilty of the crime for which they are charged. People are and always have been wrongfully accused and convicted due to eyewitness misidentification, junk and misused forensic science, false confessions, government misconduct, dishonest informants, and bad lawyering, according to the legal organization called the Innocence Project. Is it acceptable that we accidentally put people to death? Should we shrug our shoulders and say, that's just the price of administering justice? Personally, I would find it a fate worse than death to be locked up in a tiny room with no company eating bad food for the rest of my life.
Colin Hines is a writer, attorney, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa who blogs at Carpe Absurdum. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.